This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset.
Welcome back to Finding the Funny. My name's Ange.
My name's Ruth, and we are sisters. If you've never listened before, Ange and I get together once a week. And what do we chat about, Ange?
Oh, my Lord. I mean, what don't we chat about? We chat about
shit, really.
Absolutely bloody anything and everything. So, you know, If that's your bag, pop the kettle on, put your feet up, stick around. With Ruth and Ange, the finding
the funny. Anyway, how are you this week, Ange?
I'm all right, mate. Although I have noticed this morning, I've got like a huge zit coming on my chin.
Yes!
You never, do you reckon it's stress?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm stressed.
Hormones?
I don't think so. It's just literally, I mean, this happens to me occasionally. I'll just get an absolute bloody
humdinger
of a spot. And I can, honestly, it feels like a freaking volcano is erupting on my chin.
Shit. Yeah.
So,
oh, Lord. Well,
welcome to you and your mate.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
This is our guest this week on the podcast, Andy's Humdinger of a Zit. We'll be sitting down to chat with them in, you know, a couple of minutes' time. Yep. Stay posted, stay tuned.
Yeah, it'll be great fun.
Now, Ange, when we did our prep, you told me you had something to bring to general chat.
Right, okay. So, I was watching... first of all, I'm a huge fan of Gogglebox.
Me too. I love
Gogglebox. And there's a new series out, right?
A shame that we're not on it.
It is, actually.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that call, you know. Yeah. I'm waiting for the, do you want to do Gogglebox?
I think it's going to come, Pat. So I really do.
Yeah, I think it could come.
Yeah.
But do you know what we'll do? We'll do Celebrity Gogglebox.
Oh, there she goes. There she bloody goes. There she goes. Getting on her bloody high horse again.
Brilliant. So I was watching the new series of Gogglebox on Friday night.
Yes.
And they were watching a bit of Sheridan Smith's show, Perfect Pooch.
Poochie.
So this is it was the final episode of that programme.
Shout out to Sheridan Smith. I know that she listens. Thanks
big
for listening,
up,
Shez.
Big up Shez.
Big up Shez. Big up Shez.
So it was Pooch Perfect. It was the final episode, I think.
Now, is that like a Crufts? Is it like a television version of Crufts?
No, it's more about the groomers. So dogs come in who are like, you know, a bit dishevelled, need a bit of a...
Okay.
It's basically a makeover for dogs.
It's a dog makeover?
Yeah, it is.
Shit, is that what it is? I haven't watched it.
No, well, I haven't really watched it.
It's a dog makeover show?
Yes.
Do they ever turn the mirror around and the dog goes, I don't fucking like it. What have you done to my fur? What the fuck is my hair doing like that, you cow? I don't want this.
This does not look like the photo I gave you.
And also, you told me I look glamorous. All you've done is stick a bloody collar on me with a bow. Fuck off.
They go to town, these groomers.
Do they?
Oh, my Lord, do they go to town, right? So on the bit of Gogglebox that they were watching, this black poodle came in, jet black poodle,
right.
who obviously needed to have a makeover.
I actually really like poodles.
Nah, I don't.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Carry on.
So the jet black poodle comes in and the first thing the groomer does is take off like shitloads of, because obviously they are very furry, fluffy dogs, aren't they? So she takes off shitloads of this fur.
Yeah.
And a whacking pile of it lands at the end of the table. And Giles, you know the couple Giles and Mary, also known as Natty. They call each other Natty, which I love.
Natty. Yeah, Giles and Mary, yeah.
So Giles says to Mary, well, Natty, all that fur shouldn't go to waste. I could go on the compost heap or could be used for pubic wigs. Right? Or, which are known as, he goes on to say... which I believe are called merkins.
Merkin?
Right, exactly.
Producer Joe knew that it's called a merkin.
Did you know? Did you know it was a merkin? And did you know you could even get pubic wigs?
No.
Well, you can. right? I then had to Google the shit out of
her. Oh my god!
But it's this whole thing where you can buy. I mean, you can buy them on eBay and Amazon.
What?
Yeah, you can get different colours. You can get different
right
styles.
Messaging, guys. If you've ever seen a merkin
or had one, have you ever had
or
a merkin?
Ever? There's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
I'm at Ange Corden. You can also find us on Facebook. Search "Finding the Funny Podcast," and you can message us on there. And you can
send us an email: hello@ruthcorden.com. If you have ever seen a merkin in real life, yeah, had one, touched one, bought one.
They're reasonable.
Have you ever been getting intimate with somebody and they're wearing a merkin? Can you imagine? Hang on a second. I just need to go and remove my merkin just before you go down there.
Well, apparently some like sort of celebs, sort of US celebs, have been on the merkin, you know, bandwagon. Miley Cyrus, apparently Gaga. Big in the Merkins.
Gaga listens. I know Gaga listens. Get in touch, Gaga. Gaga.
But yeah, all this thing about bringing back the bush, which actually, I'm actually quite up for that.
Listen, it's, you know, as in International Women's Day, I'm up for let's bring back the bush.
Bring back the bush. Honestly, hashtag bring back the bush. Hashtag the bush. Wear a Merkin. Yeah. But honestly,
I just need to say, I don't want no poodle hair in my merkin. Mm,
yeah. Well, it was a whole, this, you know, Giles has opened up this world to me that I didn't even know existed.
Merkin.
Pubic wigs.
We need to hear from you guys. If you've had one, if you've got one, if you've ever been intimate with somebody who's got one.
Yeah. And they are reusable.
Have you ever seen it?
You can sort of stick them on, take them off, reuse them, you know. I'm assuming you can wash them.
Every day is a school day. That's what they say, isn't it? Oh, God, this is weird already.
So, yeah, there we go. I was like, I've got to find out if Pat knows what a merkin is.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is what I had to bring, Pat, was some
you
merkin.
You also have got a message, haven't you?
We did. We had a message on the Finding the Funny Facebook page, and it was a message from Claire. We'd had a couple back and forth because she'd had some issues finding our podcast, but we sorted that out. Anyway, yes, she sent me a message saying, I'll tell you what I bloody love, if you like. The mix of having a right good laugh, generally on a Friday night with a glass of vino while I cook dinner, held in perfect balance with some serious shit that needs to be said, and that not many other places seem to be willing to approach. And you both do it with such honesty and integrity, and just be real. Especially during the last year, when those conversations you'd have with friends after a few have been impossible. It's been like a breath of fresh air to hear you two chatting and feeling like a part of your conversation. Bloody love it.
Oh, we bloody love you, Claire.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, that is such a lovely message to receive.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Thank you very much, Claire.
On messages, I've got so many messages this week from people who have just, who absolutely loved my blunder into Total Eclipse of the Heart being in Watership.
That was a classic Patty moment.
I mean, so many people have been like, this one woman messaged me saying she had to stop walking because she was going to fall over. She was laughing that much when I said, oh yeah, Total Eclipse of the Heart from Watership Down. Yeah, I mean, that was a classic Patty error, wasn't it?
Oh, I mean, it was perfect.
I mean, there's been a few now, hasn't there? We've got Helen Le Bonham Carter.
Yeah, we've had that.
There's been, you know, I get stuff like this wrong a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah,
a lot. Anyway, we're going to mix it up a bit this week, aren't we? We're going to start with... Everybody's talking about.
Yes, we are, Patty.
Can I just say, we're going to talk about the Daisy May Cooper thing. Mm. If you don't know who Daisy May Cooper is, she's an actress. She's a writer. She's a comedian.
She's a comedian.
She is best known for writing with her brother Charlie an absolutely brilliant TV show called This Country.
Yeah.
We'll go into what it is. I just love her.
I know you do, Pats, yeah.
Honestly, she's just like,
do you know
everything
what she is?
I want to be.
Do you know what she is, Pats? Right? And I think this is why I think you love her. I love her. I think we feel we have a lot of sort of common denominators, right? It's because she just doesn't give a shit.
No.
And I love that about her.
So to sum that up even more, this week on Instagram, Daisy May Cooper posted a video of her in a chat with her publisher. She's bringing a book out. It's called Don't Laugh, It'll Just Encourage Her. And she was secretly filming them talking, and she says in this video, well, no, I think it's important that I should be able to talk about my ex-boyfriend. She's got a bent knob. And these producers are like, well, no.
Publishers.
They're like, you know, no, we don't think that's appropriate. He might be able to identify himself. There's a legal issue in all of this. And she's like, well, it's a deal breaker for me. You can go back and tell them I'm not writing it. Unless, anyway, the next video was then her getting a bollocking from publishers saying, we're really serious. You can't post stuff about that. Promise us you'll never post anything again. She's like, I promise you I'll never post a video again. Up obviously post goes that video.
Yeah.
Then she disappeared.
Yeah. 24 hours. She was missing.
There was loads of stories where she was like, don't ever change. I'm not taking it down. I'm having loads of shit from my agent.
Fuck you.
I'm not taking it down.
As the old, you know, she did the whole, fuck you. Yeah, basically putting her finger up to the screen saying, I don't give a shit. Yeah.
Then fast forward to the next day, there's a video on her dad's Instagram where she's saying that I've disabled my Instagram account because they won't let me write about the bent knob. And then the final video, they came back onto Instagram, and the final video, which is my favourite of the lot, is her mum's in the background. And Daisy May Cooper is obviously slightly tipsy at this point, and her mum is giving her so much shit in the background. Yeah.
Well, she comes on, doesn't she, with this glass of wine in hand.
Yeah.
And her mum straight away, she's like, no, Daisy, I don't think you should be you shouldn't be going live when you've got alcohol. She's like, I'm not live.
I'm just doing a video.
And she's just comedy gold without even trying to be.
It is the whole, like, she really doesn't give a shit, does she?
I just love that about her.
But it's her, like, ability in what I think is so amazing and that I find so funny is her ability to be funny in any situation.
Yeah. I just think that's brilliant.
If you think about, you're writing a book.
Mm.
You're sat in a serious meeting.
Yeah. She's like,
and
I'm going to have a laugh.
I know what I know what's going to wind you up. It's if I talk about
my ex-boyfriend.
My ex-boyfriend's bent knob.
And it's the fact that she goes, I want to talk about my ex-boyfriend whose knob went drastically to the left or something like that.
It bent so far to the left.
Like, it's so descriptive and so graphic that it just is so funny.
In that video, he says there's legal issues because he'd be able to identify.
Yeah, because there's two people in the room, isn't there? There's a bloke and a woman. And the woman sort of says, you know, the thing is, what will your ex-boyfriend feel about that? You know, he'll know you're talking about him. And straight away, the bloke comes in, there's legal issues. Like, you can tell they're thinking, shit, we cannot have this.
Final video she does, she phones that guy when her mum's in the background. She phones that guy and she says to him, the thing is, you were being like a complete twatty geography teacher. I know you've been having a tough time, but actually, when you're not like a geography teacher and a twat, you're actually all right. A geography teacher.
Yeah.
A twatty geography teacher.
Which I think is spot on. Yeah.
She just has the ability, doesn't she, to like, she's so clever.
Yeah. Oh,
because the way that she can just make anything funny.
Yeah.
Is like unbelievable. And she then said, she came on and she said, you know, the bent knob thing's worked out quite well, hasn't it? Like, she's sold all of her pre-order copies.
Number one.
Yeah. And then she says, look, if you've ordered a signed copy, I'm gonna do everything I can to write to draw a picture of a bent knob. It's so mean. That is so funny.
That is very
But it's
funny.
Amazing because she also spoke on Instagram this week about how her book is going to cover everything about when she was really poor and she had bailiffs at the door. Mm. And she was told by one of the places that they took this country to, she was told she'd never be able to play Kerry Mucklow, who is, you know, it's about character. Two people who are cousins. So yeah. Charlie is her brother but plays her cousin in the show. She was told you can't play Kerry Mucklow in this country. If you haven't watched This Country, you can get it on iPlayer. Matthew and I binged watched all
well,
three series.
Well, like, worth a watch. Yeah.
It is so funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, Daisy, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the podcast. We'd love to have you on the podcast.
We really would. I mean, Pats would probably lose her shit.
I had a dream actually about her. I won't tell you exactly what was in the dream.
Right. Did it involve bent knobs?
No, but we did basically end up slagging someone off, and we both agreed about this person in the dream. And then we became mates because we had a similar belief about, we both thought this person was a twat. We both sort of said it to each other. Yeah. And then, we were like best mates.
The rest is history.
Anyway, Anne, shall we?
Let's go and do the lovely questions.
Amazing. We had a big question in this week from Julie on the gram. Now, I think this is an interesting question, Anne.
Yes, I agree.
If you were a fruit, what fruit would you be?
Now, I had to give this some thought. Because I'm very different. You literally, someone asks you that question, bang, you're on it. You know what your fruit is.
But you know, you often come up with funnier shit because you do think about it and then you have like an explanation.
Yeah. Well, I have given it some thought.
I'd be a passion fruit. I'd be a passion fruit.
Okay, yeah. That is sexy vibes.
Yeah. Very, very exotic.
Mm.
You know, quite unusual.
Yes.
Not your bog standard staple.
Yeah.
Great in a porn star martini.
Porn. Yeah, great in porn.
Porn. Ange just felt the need there to just say porn.
Porn.
For some reason.
Yeah, great in porn.
You know, I think a bit different, a bit out there. Mm. But if you have one, they're often delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean.
And you're often like, oh, God, why don't I have passion fruit more? That's so good.
Yeah.
That tastes so nice.
Yeah.
So I would say your passion fruit.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear that, Pat. So I like where you've gone
Thank
for
you.
There.
Thanks.
So I gave it some thought, and I thought that I think I would be a pear.
Oh, Ange, no. What, like a shitty conference pear?
Don't call them shitty conference pears, right? Pears, first of all, pears are very underrated, right? Pears don't get your passion fruit glory. You know, pears really get forgotten, right?
Yeah, because they don't even get remembered like an apple, do they?
Is that what I mean?
Exactly.
You don't go, oh, I'm going to go and have a pear. You generally would say, I'm going to go and have an apple. You know, that's the kind of standard of fruit you're in there. Your apples and your pears, your bananas, they sort of staples. Very rarely, though, do people go for pears.
So, you just said your apples and your pears and your bananas. You said that in your staples, and then you said very rarely do people go for pears.
What I mean is they're kind of like the staple fruits people might have, but I don't think they necessarily eat them. Because I think you always tend to go for your apple or your pear or your banana.
Banana, right.
Yeah, right. So I think pears get forgotten, very underrated, right? I also think you have to really pick your moment with a pear. Because quite often pears can be quite hard. Hard sort of outer skin, and they can be hard. But
now this does level up with you, because if you pick you on a bad day, you'll get a hard, catty, bitchy response.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You never have to worry about that with a passion fruit.
No. So you could pick me one day, and I'm a hard, awkward, disgusting cow.
disgusting.
I can be absolutely disgusting, right? But you give me a couple of days to ripen. You go back and you pick me a few couple of days later. Right?
And you're ready to go.
I am juicy. I'm ripe. I've got a lovely sort of outer skin and a fleshy centre.
Yeah.
Bang. You will enjoy every fucking bite of the pear.
That is true, actually. Yes. That is true.
Yeah. So I think, actually, I've nailed that. I am a pear.
I think Julie on the gram would agree. Mm. If Julie knows you like I think she does.
Exactly.
She'll be like, yes, Ange.
Yes.
The other thing, the other reason I picked a passion fruit is because passion fruits are tough on the outside, but very, very soft.
Soft centres. Mm.
And I think that sums me up.
Yeah, you can be very outer hardness.
And I think people think, oh, she's a bit of a stroppy bitch. You know, I'm quite opinionated. Yeah, yeah. People can think, oh, she can take a lot. But actually, underneath the surface.
Yeah. There's a very soft centre.
Sensitive. Mm. There's a very sensitive little girl
sensitive
in there.
Sensitive soul. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
We are going to now head into dickish behaviour.
We are indeed.
We had a dickish behaviour in from Charlotte on the gram. And Charlotte says, people on Facebook who claim to have prepped dinner, done 5 loads of laundry, baked a cake, walked the dog and given their husband a blowjob all before 8:30 a.m. They are dicks.
They are. And there actually are people like that.
And it's like we said, didn't we? It's about when they put like the tick next to
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Prepped dinner. Tick. Done 5 loads of laundry. Tick. Given the husband a blowjob. Tick.
Best of his life. Tick. Yeah, that bollocks.
Like, it's like, I don't need to know you're running itinerary.
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 Yeah. Why do people feel they have to share that?
Because it's showing off, isn't it? It's back to your showing off vibes.
Yeah.
I want everyone to know my husband's had the blowjob of his life this morning.
Yeah.
All before 8:30 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, what Charlotte's forgotten to put in there is done a workout.
Yeah.
That needs to be in there as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, but also, I'm interested in, do they ever do those? Are they multitasking at any point? You know, is she doing the laundry while giving a blowjob? Or are they all very, you know, she's folding up the laundry. Mm. Actually, while I'm doing this, love, can I just repair the socks? Do you mind? do I just get both? Because I want to put a list on Facebook and I'll run out of time if I don't. If I don't multitask.
Also, it's that thing of, do you mind if I just do the laundry whilst giving you a blowjob? Because actually, I get very little out of this anyway.
And actually, if I can be doing something else, it's a much better use of my time.
At least I kind of feel like I'm out of it having achieved something.
Yeah. You know. Oh, look at that. You've had a great time. I've paired all the socks.
I've sucked you up.
Whilst I've socked these up. I've done a sock off on a sock up.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's a very good, very good one, that.
Because, you know, you wouldn't want it while you were baking a cake, probably, would you?
No, very dangerous. You're in very dangerous ground.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
But I do think the pairing of the socks could work.
Yeah, with the sucky-sucky.
sucky-sucky-sucky-sucky. That, you know, that is what we're going for.
Maybe this you should try socks. It this week, Pat.
Well, report back if it's difficult or if I just managed to get on with it well.
Yeah, because then you could sort of update people, say just to let you know, guys,
why do I have to try it, why can't you try it?
Because, you know, CBA.
why is it down to me to bring the interesting content of this podcast? We actually are in the same boat, unlike Bonnie Tyler from last week. We are actually very much in the same boat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We're with you. That is dickish.
And very, very well observed. Okay, so we're moving into our sort of segment at the end, the Don't Go There segment. And we decided this week that we would talk about managing Mother's Day. Because obviously it is approaching Sunday this week, obviously, if you have forgotten, it is Sunday. Yeah. But yeah, we just felt like we quite often have talked about this anyway. Mm. And we just thought it would be something that would be a good thing to talk about and maybe doesn't get talked about very often, actually. Mm. And just the, you know, I feel very fortunate because I am a mum. I have two children. Mm. My mum is still alive. Yeah. I have a good relationship with her.
Mm.
And I feel like I'm in a very privileged position because I don't really know how the flip of that is.
Yeah.
And obviously being your sister and knowing the sort of heartache and pain you have gone through and continue to go through, not being a mum yourself, I find it really changes how I look at Mother's Day. It really does, because there's always this part of me just thinking, I am so fortunate, and yet for so many people, this day is so hard.
It is.
You know, whether it's for you that haven't been able to have children of your own, for people that have lost their mums, of which I think probably maybe this year could potentially be really hard for people given the year we've been through, and lots of people will be facing Mother's Day this year without their mums. People who've had difficult relationships with their mum, you know, people that have been fostered or adopted, and the kind of, so yeah, we just thought this was a subject that we should talk about and cover it on all levels, really.
It's such a hard day for so many people, isn't it? And I think it's one of those days that, you know, when you're sort of younger, or, you know, perhaps haven't been trying to grow your family and your mum is still around, and it's a day you sort of skip into and skip out of, really. And you don't, you know, lots of people don't stop to think quite how difficult it is. But I think even for me, like, you know, big companies, anybody who you've ever shopped with, the lead up to Mother's Day, every single email is Mother's Day, Mother's Day, Mother's Day. And that's really hard, both for people in my position who are like, I've never experienced getting a Mother's Day card. I don't know what that's like. But also really difficult for people who are estranged from their mum, you know, who perhaps their mum is still alive, but they have a very, very difficult relationship with them. Or obviously if, you know, their mum is no longer around. And I think it's so easy to just see it as another day. And just another kind of thing to celebrate. And obviously, look, mums should be celebrated. You know, often mums in families and households can be a bit forgotten, can't they? And, and you know, it's there's a place to do it. I just feel like sometimes the kind of in your face nature in which it's done. I know on Sunday my feed will be filled with people receiving gifts from their kids. And I actually I would say probably Mother's Day is probably one of the hardest days of the year for me, because I just don't really know what to do with myself. I don't sort of, I can't get into those conversations of like, oh, look what, you know, little so-and-so got me, and, you know, can't take a lovely Instagram picture of all the gifts that I was given, and can't talk about the card that I got. And I actually find it a really, really, really difficult day, because you it's just a sort of another
reminder.
It's another reminder of what Matthew and I don't, and Matthew finds Father's Day really tough every year without fail, really, really difficult, because it's another reminder of what we don't have. And actually,
so I was just sort of trying to think about people who find Sunday really hard for whatever reason. Like, so on Sunday, will you specifically sort of just try and stay off social media? Will you sort of try and limit?
Probably.
To just try and, I'm just sort of thinking of, that doesn't mean that that makes it any easier or.
No.
But I just sort of think if you're able to take yourself out of that situation where it is going to be like that constant slap in the face to you, is that a sensible thing to do or a good thing to do? Does that help you? Have you ever done that before?
Yeah,
those days?
I actually, most Mother's Days in the morning, I probably just cry most of the morning. Mm-hmm. Like that is, you know, and I find that quite cathartic. And I suppose it's a sort of, you know, it's okay to look at my life and think, gosh, I'm so blessed. And, you know, we're so lucky that we still have our mum, and that, you know, that's amazing. And there's so many, one of my best friends, you know, she lost her mum 4 years ago and it's a really difficult day for her. It's really tough because she does have children, but she doesn't have her mum. And that, you know, it's another reminder of what she doesn't have. But I think for me, I cry quite a lot. I sort of allow myself to just feel sad. I tell myself that that's okay, and it's okay to sort of long for that thing that you don't have. And, you know, it's all those little things, isn't it? Like, you know, the first time your child makes you breakfast in bed on Mother's Day and burns the toast, and, you know,
just a note, might have never done that. Hashtag just
John and Ellen, pull your finger out, bloody hell, make breakfast in bed. You know, like, it's all of that kind of, you know, the handmade card from nursery or from school. I've never had that. Like, you know, going off with your partner to buy gifts, or, you know, if you're a single parent, another member of the family taking them out to buy presents. You know, it's like, Matthew and I have never, ever experienced those things. And that is where this infertility, like, walk is so difficult, because it is a grief without a loss. And people forget the ongoing grief that us in this infertile community feel. And I think the loss of a parent, people can empathize and understand how difficult that is. You know, if I phone my boss and say I can't come in today, somebody's died, they get it. If I phone my boss and say I've come on my period and it's really upsetting because I thought I might be pregnant, they're like, what? Okay. You know, and it is that ongoing, like, peaks and troughs of grief.
Yeah.
When for us, and lots of people obviously have experienced baby loss, but for us, we have never lost something or someone.
Something tangible.
But there is this, this depth of unexplainable grief for what we thought our lives would look like at this point. So I just think, just take Mother's Day as you need to. Just try and be. I'll never forget one year. We got up, it was actually Father's Day, and Matthew and I got up and we were like, right, we're going to go for a harvester breakfast and we're just going to, like, eat what we want and just really enjoy it. And we got there and we were like, we're here for breakfast. And the guy went, yeah, we're finishing early today because it's Father's Day, so we're starting our Sunday lunch earlier. And we were just both like, we walked out and we were like, fuck
great.
You.
That's really great.
Thanks. So, you know, another thing that Father's Day is fucking ruined. And I do think you have to just sort of try and, you know, laugh where you can, don't you? But I always tell myself that it's okay on that day for me to feel perhaps, you know, and I would say that to anyone, whatever your family looks like. Just, you know, just take the day to feel sad. And if you need to, just, you know, take a bit of time out for yourself, really, and just look after yourself. But it is a really difficult day to manage, isn't it?
Like, you know, no, I really do. I every year it comes round, it does kind of, it really sort of hits me again how fortunate I am and how hard and difficult and sad and painful it is for so many in so many ways. And I think you're right, you've just got to, whatever your day looks like, whatever Sunday looks like for you, just try and, allow yourself to feel it, allow yourself to grieve or cry or honour, you know, yourself and anyone else in that situation. And as always, just be kind to yourself and to others.
Well, there we go. Another episode in the bag.
Done.
Thanks so much for listening, as always. We've given you all the information where you can find us. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.